Alpine Credits, where homeowners get approved.
Oh, hi. I'd like to apply for a loan so I can consolidate some of my debts.
Sure. Do you own your home?
Yes. But Carl, our resident ghost, keeps saying it's his house and we should get out.
Okay. But you are the registered owner.
Yes.
Then you're approved.
Hey, hear that, Carl? Huh?
Alpine Credits, where homeowners get approved.
Go to alpinecredits.ca to get started. Some conditions apply.
FSRA license 12616.
Hour 2 Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app. Your home smart speaker up on TSN 2. Brian Hazio, Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles McLennan were tracking the Giants-Cowboys game. And obviously, you know, U.S. Thanksgiving today. There's a lot going on. The Bills survived. They squeaked past the Lions early. They went on a late field goal to walk out of there with a win. The Lions cover the number, which is obviously important. So we're tracking that. We're looking
Brian
back on
Dable. That dude Dable, he loses.
Dable's freaking. Oh, you see that video of him just going crazy? And the Giants are up 3-0, and they get the ball back. Like, dude, they're off a good start.
Like, the coaches ever get penalties or whatever? Like, I was like shocked the ref didn't throw a flag or like. That was outrageous. He was like doing the WWF lose his mind move at the ref right in front of him.
Yeah, you're right though. I don't remember the last time a coach got flagged because they snap. They lose it on the sideline.
God, do they lose it. Well, you hear the stories about how long they spend. I always heard a story the other day that they only see their family like twice a week. Like they take their kids on a Friday to ice cream or something after school, and then they got to drive back to the stadium, and then Saturday morning they take them out for breakfast. Other than that, they're not home. Like they're at the stadium doing work. It's crazy the amount of time they spend there.
I've heard that as well, but what are you working on? Like, and then how does your team show up and be awful?
Well, you know, kidding. Like, what's the excuse for being garbage? Like, if you're there so long, are you eating pizza and drinking beers with the guys, or what are you doing?
You're trying to reinvent the wheel. That's what you're trying to do. That's the frustrating part. The thing that I didn't like about coaching is they feel they've got to punch a clock. They've got to work harder than everybody else. They've got to be more prepared than everybody else. And that is from the worst team in football, baseball, you name any sport, to the best teams, is the coaches. A lot of
Noodles,
times,
if you don't have the horses, you can't just sit in there and start making up fake plays with garbage players.
Yeah, okay, but here
and saying, optics, let's try this.
The optics of it, though, are bad. Let's say you got a bad team and you're the first guy out of the dressing room, and you know, like, and people are watching you drive away as the players are still showering. Like, you, it. A lot of it is optics, and you have to sell to the people above you, to the managers, to the owners, that you're putting the work in. Like,
right.
I'm not lying.
I think that's a part of it. I understand. And that's why I remember the Urban Meyer story where he stayed back in Ohio. It was like a shot. No one had ever seen that before. A coach not getting on the plane and flying home with his losing
team. That was a costly little thing.
And then after that, he's in the bar and he's getting a little bit frisky.
Yeah, exactly. That was a costly move for Urban.
What an idiot. Get on the bird, man. Like, not only does he not get on the plane, he goes out and all of a sudden he's
magic
getting
hands.
His hands were tangling.
Yeah, he was doing, he had a tickle trunk. He was doing tricks at the bar.
Yeah, he was frisky, man. Urban was frisky.
Was he ever?
But you'd think that at some point there'd be an owner who would go up to the coach and say, put in 12 hours a day. How about that? Like, that's a lot. That's really a lot of time. But you don't have to be here at 2 in the morning to prove that you're so much better than everyone else.
Well, dude, you know what happened is somebody started it no matter how many years ago, and then it filters through, and somebody had success, whether it be Bill Parcells back in the day or I don't know who it was, and someone else said, if they're doing that, you better be doing that too, and we better exhaust all options.
Or what happens is somebody, they get wind that, okay, those guys check in at 8 o'clock every morning. They have a coach's meeting, you know, a pre-meeting before something. And you know what it is? It's the hero that gets hired somewhere else and goes, well, we're not doing 8. We're going to do a 7 a.m. So then it just kicks into, I don't know how many times, I used to like to get a workout in before you'd get on with your day coaching. So you had to be
Noodles,
at
if I was a coach in the NHL, I would say, forget about this late afternoon stuff. I'll see you at 5 a.m. You want to go through video and want to go through the program, and then after practice, we can all go home like normal individuals.
Right.
Well, you want to be heroes. Let's be at 5 a.m. Let's get after it. That's.
I think that
because I'm an early bird, but.
Yeah, I think that happens, but I'd love to know if there's any, like, Costanza activity. Like, the guy who's there at 3 but goes right back to
sleep
on the couch.
Under the desk.
Yeah, he's like, oh, my car's been here. I punched in, but he's not doing anything. He's on YouTube and shutting the mill.
There is a lot of, like, staring at your computer screens and a lot of taking care of other things.
Right.
But you have to be present. That's the hardest part. You're present, but you're doing your own thing in your own little bubble. So you're doing your banking, you're doing whatever, your calls, but you're sitting at that desk instead of laying on your couch or, you know, having some semblance of a normal life.
Right. And listen, it worked for McDermott today. It didn't work for Campbell because the Bills won, the Lions lost. We'll see what happens in the afternoon game. Mark Masters will join us here in a moment. The Leafs bursting the bubble, the Devils, last night. And, you know, Sheldon Keefe's now got to deal with another issue because Jordy Benn is week to week. Like, when it rains, it pours. Like, it's just, if you're a defenseman on this team, it feels like you're in danger of getting injured and leaving for an extended period of time. We'll catch up with Mark on that in a moment. But, like, coaches being in the limelight, it's a big part of, you know, content creation, right? Like, we're always talking about what does a coach say? What does a coach do? How does a coach handle something? And we had Matthew Schinetti on last hour, who's our TSN reporter in Qatar. He was the one that asked John Herdman right after the match yesterday, what was your message to your team after losing to Belgium? And Herdman came out and said, we're here, we belong, and we're going to go and F Croatia, you know, and that caused a bit of a stir, and apparently people in Croatia are not so happy about it. And the World Cup's very parochial, it's very, you know, it is a lot about just covering your nation, and it's your team, and even though you're a journalist, you're Croatian, you're Canadian, you're Belgian, so you feel like you've got more skin in the game. And I think that's why people are crying after matches and, you know, high-fiving after matches.
Really? But I get you have parochial in the
parochial is a good one. It's a good word. It's an appropriate
word.
You
Googled it today. You Googled it today and you said, I got to use this in the show. Yeah. Anyway, carry on.
And I snuck it in. But I get the impression what Croatia wants to hear from John Herdman, because they don't have respect for Canada. No one's got respect for Canada on the international stage of soccer. This is what Croatia wanted to hear from John Herdman.
They're faster, they're bigger, they're stronger, they can shoot better, they can pass better, they can do everything better.
That's what he wanted to hear.
He did.
Right? That's what they wanted, was the Swiss coach.
We have no chance. We have no chance against Canada. Yeah.
They have first rounders, and we have no one.
Their whole team is first rounders, and we have zeros.
That's awesome. Let's play it one more time. Again, this is what the whole country.
I want to see his face, though. Do we actually?
We got to find the biz. Yeah, Joe from the Bridge has got it. We got to find, because it is his body language is even more defeated.
And I want the full meal deal, the first round, all the talk. Like, he doesn't just say this or that. I want the full meal deal.
All right, find everything, but let's play this one more time. This is what everyone in Croatia expected John Herdman to say.
They're faster, they're bigger, they're stronger, they can shoot better, they can pass better, they can do everything better.
I love it.
They can do everything better.
What a tire pumping. And the best thing is Canada went out and blew their doors off, too.
Absolutely.
Like, that was supposed to be inspirational. Like, he's like, I'm challenging my boys. And Canada just went out and roasted them.
Wow, there was
dude, I saw that
do.
Guy the next year in Buffalo. I don't know if that might have been in Vancouver when
there
he
was
said
a two pack. Yeah, he did it back to back years, I think.
And I just said to him, we were having a beer at the bar in the hotel lobby, and it kind of got a little comfortable. And I said, I got to ask you, man, what were you thinking with that commentary? And he was like, honestly, that was my only chance. I threw it out there and hoped it worked, and it didn't work.
It did not work.
It did not work.
But anyway, it worked for the Leafs last night. And listen, they're not all going to be pretty. They're not all going to be Picassos. They're not all going to be comfortable, you know. And what do we always say? If you don't have to win pretty on the road, you know. And the Devils, I give them a lot of credit. Like, I thought the Leafs played really well in the first. They're up 2-0. They're feeling good. The Devils completely, they turned into a wagon in the second and third period. They were coming on, and obviously the review process was a big part of the story.
Hayes, I don't know what happened.
Leafs played well.
when they came back from Anaheim, we talked about them being in the bottom of the dumpster, and it's slippery and it's messy getting out of the dumpster because they were in a mess.
Yep.
Yeah.
And for I don't know if they had a team, a player meeting, or they went out on the road together or what they did, but they just got a bit of jam to them right now. Like, I saw Rasmus Sandin on the bench. He was all cut up, and he's got a scar. Not that he's probably ever going to do that again, but they're just doing stuff that's what we always talk about. Like, they're playing with some jam, and they got some stones, and they play with some intensity and some purpose. And when we talk about having an edge to you, we know there's no more punching people in the head or fights. Mm-hmm. Like, the Sandin, that might be their only fight this year. But they just got some zip to them and some edge where they want to battle and contest the puck. And you see with New Jersey, when you do that on a nightly basis, the way the game is played now, you give yourself a chance to win. And when you have the talent that they have and you combine that with playing like that, you're always going to have a chance to win. It's been a pleasure for me to sit and watch them, as opposed to that nonsense out west where you're like, this isn't even
likable. No, they
like,
were terrible early in the season.
No, no, yeah. It was like, yeah. And as a fan or as someone watching, you're like, this is not even likable. It's not sustainable. You can't win like this. And everyone wonders why people freak out with the lack of success in the past. But what they're doing right now, it's really good stuff. It's really good stuff, and they give themselves a chance to win, and they're likable on top of it.
Mm-hmm. Yep, well, and you're
what
right.
Mark says, but I agree. I agree. I just think that they know that there's injuries. They know they have to play a certain way to get through it because they're very thin on the back.
Yeah, but
end.
Jamie said yep. It as a standard when other guys come back. That's the way it's happening, or and nothing
I
different.
I agree.
Yep, no, for sure. Now it helps. Murray's played really well. Like, what do you have? Yeah. 34, 35 last night. Tavares scored his 12th. But that's it. You're racking up points, man. They're racking up a lot of points. Here's Mark Masters, our TSN Maple Leaf reporter, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. That was a gutsy win. It was a pretty wild scene down there, though, Mark. What was that like? How would you put that into perspective? A game in November against Jersey didn't really feel like your standard regular season game.
No, it didn't. I'm not going to forget that one for a while. But it felt big coming in, even just because the Devils were going for their franchise record win streak, and the Leafs were playing without, you know, now Riley was out, so they were kind of amped up to make a statement. You know, New Jersey had got them at home not that long ago, just a few days prior. So even heading into the game, and the building was great. Like, the atmosphere was awesome right from the puck of the drop. You know, it's the eve of Thanksgiving. The drinks were flowing. I'm sure that maybe factored into exactly how things went off the rails later in the game. But it was a great atmosphere. Both teams, I thought, you know, rose to the occasion. It was a great game, and the Leafs played well, got it done, and it was, you know, the reason why Sheldon Keefe calls it a character win. But yeah, I'm not going to forget that one. That turned pretty quick.
Mark, we were just talking about their approach and what they're doing on the ice, how it looks different, and it's a lot more enjoyable. And like for the team, it's they've got an edge. They're competing. They look fast, and obviously when you're you know, the big talk is playing fast, looking fast. It's just got a different look to them. Do you notice that kind of ringside or being in the building?
I notice that there's a commitment and dedication to defense right now that's just off the charts. I mean, you know, I guess with the goalie injuries and then now most recently all the defense injuries, it feels like they've just decided that we're going to win 2-1 if we have to, and that's the way it's going to be. So they've really bought in. Like, that's the foundation right now until the goals start coming at a more regular pace, right? Because you got to believe Austin Matthews is going to get scoring a little bit more than he has been so far, just based on the track record. So they've been getting by because of this incredible complete buy-in right now. And because of that, they're in every game. And then they know that they've got guys like Mitch Marner who can make that amazing play to set up John Tavares yesterday. And they're going to be able to cash on another moment and they get it done. So that's what's standing out right now. They are an incredible defensive team right now. That's kind of their identity at the moment.
Mark, what do you make of, I mean, Matt Murray has been a fantastic story since coming back off the injury. How far is Samsonov away? And, you know, this is where I'd like to see the tandem be healthy and kind of battle for the net. How far is Samsonov away? And what are you know, seeing in Murray's day-to-day preparation, too?
Yeah, I mean, Murray's, he left practice before practice today, did his goalie work, and he left. So they've been doing that a lot. I mean, the schedule's pretty crazy. pretty busy. Tomorrow matinee, then a game again in Pittsburgh Saturday, and then Monday, and then home for Wednesday. So it doesn't really let up. So they've been giving them the practices and the morning skates off. And I don't know about Samsonov's status. He did practice today. And, previously Keith had said he's not going to be available on this road trip likely. So not expecting him back, but he did take part. But this practice today was like basically a glorified morning skate is how Keith described it. They just wanted to get on the ice because they knew with the matinee they couldn't have a skate tomorrow. So, and then with the back-to-back, they're not going to have a skate Saturday morning. So Samsonov, at least it's a good sign that he was back on the ice. I'm not sure what to make of his progress just because he was on the ice so quickly after the initial injury kind of caught us off guard, and then he wasn't responding great. So we'll see how it goes, but it'd be nice to have the tandem up and running the way that they saw it, because you really, really don't want to overwork Murray based on the track record.
With Mark Masters, our TSN Maple Leaf reporter, Leafs in Minnesota tomorrow, that game on TSN. Now you got Jamie Benn, or Jordy Benn, out mm-hmm. week to week. So Riley's out, Jesus. Ben's out, Brody's out, and I keep including Muzzin, but he's been out for a long time, and he'll continue to be out for a long time. And I guess Keith said today, Connor Timmins showed up, he practiced, but they don't want to rush him in for whatever mm-hmm. reason, so he won't be available tomorrow. So what happens here, Mark? Like, if we're talking upwards of 2+ weeks before we see Brody, Ben, Riley, like, how do they go about business here on the defense, considering this is really going to be an extended period of time, and they're pretty thin on the back end?
Yeah, apparently Timmins had not been on the ice for the last 3 days. And then again, as I mentioned today, really wasn't a full practice. So they're going to be a little, I guess they wanted to let him get settled here and get up to speed before they just throw him in. So I hope you're ready for the all 5'9" defense pair of Victor Mete and Mac Hollowell, because it looks like we'll see that tomorrow against a pretty big physical Minnesota team. So they better be fast, those guys on the back end. And then you got Sandin and Liljegren, who held up okay yesterday, but it's been hit or miss when they've been in top 4 minutes previously. And then you got 39-year-old Mark Giordano, or I guess Liljegren calls him the machine because he just wants more and keeps going. But how much can you really shovel onto his plate? How soon, basically, until all this catches up with the Leafs is what we're all wondering. But I mentioned the defensive buy-in, and the forwards are coming back like with aggression and helping out, and they're not making a lot of mistakes in their own end, and they're trying to help their vulnerable D right now by just being a well-rounded 5-man unit out there. We'll see, though. At some point, you got to believe it's going to catch up with them, especially I lay out the schedule there. Pittsburgh's won every game since they lost to Toronto and Pittsburgh, so they seem to have turned a corner. Detroit's playing pretty well. They're a much better team. That'll be on Monday night, and then they come home. San Jose will be an easier opponent, but first game back from a trip, so we'll see. But yeah, it's what are they down? You know, Dahlstrom got hurt in the pre. They're down like 6 of their top 11 options right now. So hopefully Timmins can get up to speed and get in and see what they got with him.
So Marner sets up Tavares for the first goal last night. That gives Mitch Marner a point in 14 straight games. And Tavares is up to 12 goals on the season. That connection, it's working well. I don't see Keith changing it anytime soon, but he's prone to do that anyway. Like, maybe by the end of the first period tomorrow, he could flip them again and have Marner with Matthews. But what can you say about the way that these two are playing in particular? Tavares and his ability to score recently, and Marner just dancing and racking up points.
Yeah, they're really good right now, and they need it. I they'll have a new winger tomorrow. Kyle Yarncroke's going to be up there in the top 6 with those guys tomorrow, and we'll see if that gets going. Keith says he can finish and is playing better, so they want to give him that chance. Nick Robertson comes out as they continue to kind of tinker around, but considering all the moving parts among the forward groups, that Tavares-Marner connection, since they've been put together the last few games here, has really been driving the force here. I wonder, if at some point Sheldon Keefe wants to give Marner back to Matthews just to try and get, Matthews going even more than, he hasn't scored. I keep waiting for it to happen because we're 21 games in and whatnot. But, Matthews the only minus, I think, on the Leafs last night, which is not going to happen too often. So I do wonder at what point you do get the two M&Ms back together. But right now, you got to love what you're seeing from Tavares and Marner. Marner, such hard work on the forecheck, and then just knows exactly where to put it. And Tavares is going to finish that every day. Yeah, it feels like that chemistry is coming back from that first season pretty quick. And that's a real positive development for the Leafs.
Absolutely. With Mark Masters, our Leaf reporter. Mark, you're obviously around the team all the time, and you were down there at Scotiabank a couple of weeks ago on the Friday night, the Hall of Fame night, and when Solomon came out, it was incredibly emotional. And then the next night on the Saturday, where it was all about Boria, he passed away today at the age of 71. But now that you look back on that weekend where he was back in Toronto, and how emotional was it? Everyone keeps having their own kind of anecdotes about, you know, what it was like, their own personal experience. What was it like for you to be a part of that weekend with Solomon in town?
Yeah, it was special. I mean, it's pretty emotional for everyone. It was a TSN broadcast that Friday night, so I was down ringside, and you could feel it. You could feel it. And then the next night, I was up in the press box, and they had the pregame ceremony, and it was heavy. You know, I mean, the players themselves were saying they were fighting back tears. I just remember that Friday game. I wanted to, obviously, you see the moment with Sittler there in the pregame, and I asked to talk to do an interview with Daryl, and I was told that he wanted to do it, but with Lanny McDonald and Tiger Williams by his side. And I was, you know, given a heads up, you know, don't necessarily ask Tiger a question because he's probably prone to start bawling. So the whole night was pretty heavy, and then today was heavy kind of too in its own way, because obviously it happened so recently. You know, Sheldon Keefe said it hits home even more just because of how recent and how emotional that was. I guess general manager Kyle Dubas kind of addressed the team before practice and gave them the news. And William Nylander told us he now caught him completely off guard, and he was still having a tough time processing it when he talked to us. And he did take solace in the fact that Solomon's not suffering anymore with this terrible disease of ALS. And he also, you know, said it was special that Pontus Holmberg, of all people, gets, you know, the winner last night, the last goal, before we find out Salming has passed by a Leaf, and it's the latest Swede to crack the lineup. So they'll never forget who paved the way, and it just feels like, yeah, it's really it's a heavy time. So I'm sure there's some things in the works for tomorrow's game, and I know we're going to be all over it in talking about Salming's legacy in the broadcast and the pregame show. So, but yeah, I'm not going to forget that. That was a pretty heavy night and special night to be a part of down at Scotiabank a couple weeks
Absolutely.
Ago.
Absolutely. All right, Mark, great stuff. Thank you for doing this. We'll catch you tomorrow in the pregame. Obviously, the Leafs on TSN, Leafs Wild in Minnesota. Thank you, buddy.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
There's Mark Masters, our Leafs reporter, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Build your next dream Toyota at Maple Toyota and check out Maple Toyota's pre-owned inventory arriving daily. It's time to Toyota. Visit MapleToyota.com. Solomon, you know, arguably the greatest Leaf defenseman of all time, and that's really the point of emphasis with the Leafs right now is the defense, you know, is all these injuries. And, you know, Victor Mete with Mac Hollowell. And is Ryan Reeves going to play tomorrow? I don't know. I would assume he probably will. But,
yeah.
I mean, Reeves, he moves around all the time. Like, it's kind of weird how, like, every couple of years his new team's like, that's enough. Like, we're moving on.
Well, yeah, I mean, he's a guy, he knows his role, he plays at the bottom of the roster. Billy Guerin's comments yesterday saying it's, you know, we're not bringing him in for goal scoring. He's a big personality, and he said our dressing room's quiet. Like,
there
you
go.
He actually identified why he was bringing him in. He's a guy who's, drags the room a little bit up as well. And I'm not sure if Foligno will play. I thought I saw he was injured last night. He's a guy who's played really well.
He's another guy that might be a factor in that transaction where it's like they want him playing more because he seems to be mixing it up and fighting all the time when you see the highlights of the Minnesota Wild. So it might be like, why don't you try to score 25 goals as opposed to fighting people?
Right.
And we'll bring in someone to take
care of
that.
Well, he fought Reeves earlier in the year. It was a great dance, too. Like the two of them. They're like that. Like both Foligno were tough as nails. Mike Foligno was tough as nails. So, yeah, the Leafs Wild tomorrow. And, again, Mete, Mac Hollowell. You're going to have Giordano played. What did he play, 25, 26 minutes last night? Like, Gio's playing.
He's efficient, right?
Played 20, almost 25. Yep.
Yeah, he's efficient. He knows how to play. He's a grizzled vet. You know, the challenge will be the schedule. But they got four games and six nights coming up, and they've already been playing the last couple. You know, their schedule is basically every second day the whole month of November.
Right.
So you've got to – The formula, we saw it last night. It wasn't the prettiest, but they were blocking shots. They had timely scoring. You know, on a different night, it'll probably be Matthews and Nylander and you know, to pick up some of the slack. I personally, I think Matthews is hurt not playing with Marner. I know MJ disagrees with me, and because Nylander is a good puck distributor, Mitch Marner's an elite passer.
Yes. Elite and of the elite.
Think of the play last night alone. He just created that out of nothing. Worked his ass off, got in the corner, took it away from two guys, and put it on a tee for Tavares.
Think of the 60 last year of how many times Matthews just had to rip it. Mm-hmm. You know, not even look and rip it because it was on his tape from Marner. Like, those are not – he has to work for some of his shots now. And that's a little bit tougher. Like, it's I like you've spread the wealth a little bit, but it shows the importance of how great of a passer Mitch Marner is when, you know, Matthews is – he's chugging along, but he's not at the pace that we've seen over the last couple of years. And a lot of those mm-hmm. looks were Marner.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Listen, there's a reason he's been a first-team All-Star. There's a reason he's got 14 games in a row with a point. I mean, he's an elite playmaking winger. And he gets in, he's not overly physical, but he battles for pucks, to your point, and he's sneaky. And, I mean, he's a great player, and Tavares is the beneficiary of that right now. He's benefiting greatly from it. And credit to John Tavares. Like, Tavares is going to the right place, he's getting open, he's scoring goals, man. He's got 12. Like, that's a great start. It's off to a great start. But I think, you know, we always bring back the, well, how's this going to affect the playoffs and stuff? Like, that's you got to win some games 2-1 where you block everything and hit everything and just clear it out. You know, like, it's not pretty. It's not analytically driven. It's just, who the hell cares? Did you win? You know, and that's what you got to do. And I think that's something – that's a game last night you look at. You say you might be in Tampa, game 6, where that building's going nuts and they're all over you. Who's blocking shots? Like, Justin Hall, full credit, man. Full credit. He blocked a lot of shots. Giordano blocked shots, you know. That's what's going to happen. And guess what? Riley's got to do it when he comes back. Brody's got to do it when he's back. That's the nature of the beast. The Raptors did not have the same fortune last night. They were down a lot of players and high-end guys. Van Vliet's not playing. Siakam's not playing. Barnes wasn't available. There's three starters right there. And they lost to Brooklyn. Jack was in the building. We'll get his take on that. His Bills triumphant today. He's got Drake's coat that some people are saying are worth $1 million. I mean, there's no way that coat's worth $1 million. Get serious. I mean, no one's walking around with $1 million coat. Not possible. But we'll catch up with Jack and we'll get his take on that. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. All right, so we're about an hour away from the reveal. The IQ tests have been taken and the IQ test results.
Text me the number that you got and I'll text you.
I'm not texting you anything. I don't know what your results are. I don't have a clue. We went to some budget-free IQ test website, which may be completely fraudulent.
He found an appropriate one. It was just it was for dummies, basically. And Hayes.
I did it one time.
I got to admit, at least half the questions I didn't understand, and I just guessed. I'm telling you straight up.
Okay. Well, then that. Yeah. I don't know how to respond to that. Because, I mean, it's going to be a good number, but I don't know if you should say that, because what if you got a high number and you're
telling
the
world that it's completely bogus? Dude, what are you supposed to do when you're doing an IQ test and you have no idea what the question even means? So I guessed.
Yeah, there was some confusing questions. We'll find out in an hour. Noodle's being awfully quiet. I think Noodle's got a big number and he's really happy. He's really happy about himself.
The grappler texted to me this morning as I was getting on a plane. I literally did it and took a picture and sent it right back to him. He can tell you that. Like, I literally rattled it off in 4 minutes. So.
Okay. All right. We'll find out. All right. We're an hour away from ending any questions about what's up with the IQ, the collective IQ of this show.
All right.
We got a guy on the line who, if he decided to steal a jacket last night, he might be a millionaire. He's already a millionaire. Jack's a millionaire to begin with. But we're hearing some stories that jacket Drake was wearing last night could be worth $1 million. Yeah. I find that hard to believe. But here's our Raptors analyst and our good friend Jack Armstrong. How much do you think that jacket was worth, Jack, that you were wearing last night?
Well, I said it's probably worth more than my house. Definitely worth more than my car. So I don't know. We'll have to get someone digging on the research to find out exactly what it's worth. But I'll tell you what, it was as warm and cozy and comfortable a mink coat. It's the only mink coat I've ever worn. Probably the only mink coat I'll ever wear.
Jack.
And it had like a spare in it. It was amazing.
You had a coffee in your hand. Would you have crapped your pants if you spilt your coffee all over that jacket?
Actually, I don't drink coffee. The only time I have coffee if it has Jameson in it. So, no, I drink tea. During games, I drink green tea. So I would have been pretty nervous if I spilled tea on that. But it just kind of happened. He took his jacket off and just handed it to us, and lo and behold, I ended up wearing it for a half of the game, and we had a lot of fun with it, and Drake's a lot of fun. Look, you know, he's a talented performer, musician, but beyond that, he gets it. He goes along with the journey. He's a lot of fun. He's got a good sense of humor, and every time he's at the game, he jumps on with it, with us, and he's very gregarious and good-hearted, so... It's always a lot of laughs.
Yeah, he definitely gets it. He's an entertainer in the end, and that was really fun, cool TV last night. It was not a lucky charm, though, for the Raptors, or a healthy body for the Raptors, because they had 10 healthy bodies last night, and they had guys playing big minutes that will not play big minutes probably again the rest of their careers, possibly, sure. With Van Vliet out, Siakam out, Barnes out. There's three starters, Achiuwa and Porter, two rotation guys. I mean, what do you make of it, Jack? I mean, they're back to 500, and it feels like when it rains, it pours. There's a lot of injuries and a lot of illness right now.
Yeah, there is. And, you know, it seems to be an ongoing trend, not only in Toronto, but around the league and in other sports as well. For whatever reason, and everyone's got their own theories of what's causing it, I personally think that a lot of athletes today specialize at a very young age, and I think you get to a point where you have overuse injuries, and you don't use other muscle groups, and I just think in the off season these guys not only train with folks with their own team, but yet a lot of them have their own personal guys, and I think the body at times needs to relax and rest a little bit. Hey, look at the longevity of a guy. My broadcast partner, Matt Devlin, and I were chatting about it, laughing about it last night. Look at a guy like Phil Kessel. I mean, seriously, right? He's just rolling along. And, you know, you look at him, and I don't think if you look up in the dictionary the definition of what an athlete looks like, I don't think Phil Kessel is the first guy on the list. But nonetheless, it's still, you know, availability is really important, and the ability to play all the time is critical, and so the Raptors are dealing with it right now, but there's not only them, but there's a lot of teams in the NBA, and you see it around other sports.
Jack, another guy to look at is LeBron. It seems like 10 days after the season, maybe not even, he's playing in some league in a gym in Los Angeles with a bunch of guys who aren't even professionals, but that's what he does in the off season. So everybody else has got to be saying, if LeBron's doing that, I got to do it too.
No, I agree. And I just think there comes a point where how much is too much.
Yeah.
And I don't have the answer to it. I don't know. I just know that I think leagues are doing everything possible to be concerned with player safety and, you know, time off, trying to cut back on back-to-backs, travel studies, sleep studies, nutrition, you name it. I think they're all trying very hard to address the issue and make it a better situation for athletes, and yet you still have this problem. So I don't know where the answer is, but clearly it's a problem.
With Jack Armstrong, we made a lot of, or we talked a lot about the Nick Nurse, Gary Trent comments from a couple of days ago, where he's urging Trent to offer up more defensively. He didn't shoot well last night, specifically from three. It was awful. He was 1-for-8 from three. But what did you make of the effort of Gary Trent? And you get the impression, like Nurse, did he feel like Trent responded to him being called out?
Well, I thought he played really hard last night. You know, he had some deflections. He had some steals. He was moving his feet. He was flying around. So he looked like the guy that I saw a year ago. That was a good, sound, two-way player for them. And, you know, it's interesting. Sometimes guys get a little sidetracked. You know, he can opt out of his contract at the end of the year. And, you know, sometimes you get a lot of people chatting to you and saying, well, you got to put up big numbers, big numbers. So you focus so much on your offensive repertoire that you kind of lose sight of the fact that people that make these decisions to pay you are making decisions on the totality of your game. And, you know, you got to be able to do it in every aspect. So, to me, even though he struggled last night offensively, and you know, if you look at the Raptors last night, they really struggled with playmaking. You take Fred VanVleet, Scottie Barnes, and Pascal Siakam off the court. For a guy like Gary Trent, as good as he is at being able to put it on the floor for a bounce or two and get his own shot, he really benefits having guys that can make plays for others and make it easier for him. So I firmly believe that when he gets those guys back around him, his numbers offensively, the efficiency will get better. But I do like what I saw from him last night in terms of his energy.
With Jack Armstrong, our Raptors analyst, the Nets are a team that causes a lot of stir and a lot of drama, and they were in town last night, and it was really the Kyrie Irving show. I mean, Kyrie has been in and out of the lineup. I think they have about 62, 63 games left in their schedule this season. There's no way he's playing in all of them, and at some point something else will come up. But you got to give credit where it's due. I mean, when he plays, he can play, can't he, Jack? I mean, he looked. They still got talent on that team in Brooklyn.
Well, he's one of the most creative players we've seen in the NBA in the last decade in terms of having an incredibly tight handle. The ball is on a string. He can go anywhere he wants with it. He can get his shot off any way possible. He can just take you out of it and get his shot off at will. And he shoots the ball exceptionally well. And he's massively gifted at being able to get to the rim and score at the rim against big people, against multiple defenders. And, you know, now you put a guy like Ben Simmons, who's starting to settle down a little bit and play better. You know, you put a guy like that on the floor who's such a good playmaker. Kyrie can play off the ball. I thought Kyrie had three plays off the ball last night. As a cutter, as a guy using screens, very crafty, intelligent movement away from the ball, and Ben Simmons found him each time. So, to me, I think that's something to keep an eye on as well. As much as Kyrie is a gifted scorer, and with the ball's in his hand, he can be a gifted playmaker. When you have a guy like Simmons to play with, you know, Joe Harris has definitely not gotten back yet to the player he once was, and they need his shooting. Seth Curry didn't play last night. But I think when you add all those skilled weapons around you, the quality of shots you get is just going to get better and better. So, look, if they're healthy, and you're right, there'll probably be other things that pop up. But if they're healthy, they're definitely a team that's going to be a tough out.
So be honest with us here, Jack. I'm assuming you're heading to some sort of, hopefully, a Thanksgiving dinner, and the Bills were playing earlier. We were laughing at really taking umbrage in the misery of Lions fans who have lost six in a row on Thanksgiving. I think they're like 5-22 or something in the last 27 on Thanksgiving Day. How many Lions fans go home and ruin Thanksgiving dinner because they just went to the game, the team sucks, and they're furious that their family's at their house? Would it have been the similar situation for you if the Bills didn't squeak that out? Because I thought they were going to lose. I thought they were going to lose this afternoon.
Well, I'm driving with my lovely bride, and she's a lifelong Bills fan. Honey, how upset would you have been?
I don't talk for days.
That's the answer. Well, now you can talk. It's all good because the Bills won, right? It's all good, right?
Happy wife, happy life. My wife is happy. I'm happy. I'm wearing my Bills hat. It's all good. We watched the game and had Thanksgiving dinner, so everybody's in a joyous, happy mood right now.
That's great. Well, we'll let you get back to it, and obviously you guys are talking, which is a good thing because the Bills won earlier today. So enjoy the ride.
Oh, yeah.
Happy Thanksgiving. We'll do it again soon. Thank you, Jack.
You got it. Have a great night, guys. Happy Thanksgiving.
Yep, you too. There he is, Jack Armstrong. his wife, a lifelong Bills fan, wouldn't talk for days if they lost. I love
it. There are people like that. Like, literally, would be so pissed.
Fuming. Well, especially against the Lions.
Dude, it doesn't matter. Who cares if the Lions skunked them? I don't understand the fandom where it's like, You wouldn't talk to someone for days at work.
Mm-hmm.
You got a life. You got a job. You got kids. Like, what? Dude, are you talking about?
No, well, think I get about it, it, man. I get it. You only
like,
play
people
so many
always
games.
I see some texts and tweets in the morning, and Leafs lose or they're terrible. I fall asleep so fast and so lovely in the evening, regardless of any score. No score of any game, unless I was part of an organization where I had skin in the game, would ever keep me up at night. Ever.
Well, I mean, think about two guys right now. I can name two guys that are at the edge of their seat and very nervous. And that is Chris Johnston and Pierre LeBrun right now watching the Cowboys-Giants. And, mm-hmm. you know, the Cowboys are hanging in there, but the Giants are up 10-7.
Giants are up 10-7.
The Cowboys, as good as they've been this year, they will find a way to do something stupid this season. It'll go stupid somehow for them. They'll have a Tony Romo butt fumble or whatever the hell he did in that one. Like, they'll have a moment where it's like, how did that happen?
Oh, I agree with you.
They do it every year.
They absolutely do. Yep, they will. They're not, I don't, you know, this game's still early. It's in the first half. And they're back in the, I don't know if they're in the red zone, but they're close.
They're close.
This probably
to it,
ends in a tie going into the half. And I think they probably pull it out in the second half. But you're right. I think the Eagles are better. I think the Niners are better. I think Tampa's still got time to collect themselves and figure it out. And, yeah, the Cowboys will find a way to screw it up. But the Bills, you know, they got a similar history. They went to four straight Super Bowls. They didn't win any of them. And, you know, how much heartbreak has there been in Buffalo? And now you get Miami's back. And you know, the Jets are making a quarterback change. We'll see what they're made of. The Patriots can – if the Pats win tonight, they're 7-4. The Pats are right on their tail.
Wow.
The Bills are in a fight, man. Bills are in a fight. Like, early in the season, it felt like they were going to run away with the AFC East.
Yeah.
It is by no means a lock that they even win the division. So today was a big game. They had to pull that off.
The Patriots started very slow, correct?
Yep.
I mean, we were talking about how Belichick, it's all Brady. Belichick can't coach. Like, you know, we were tongue-in-cheek. But it was, you know, I remember you saying, Hayes, or I think it may have been Luke saying, like, we clearly know who, you know, was more important to New England, and mm-hmm. it was Brady than Belichick. And
yeah, they stunk.
They're chipping
they
away.
Stunk.
They did. They're 6-4 now. They're 6-4.
Yeah.
Like they're in a. I don't know if they're still in the playoff spot, but they're right there. If they're not, you know, they're battling with the Bengals and with the Jets, and so it's a big one tonight. Minnesota at home against New England. Bob McKenzie coming up in the next hour. More on the Leaf injuries. More on the really solid play of Matt Murray, John Tavares, Mitch Marner. We'll get into that. Other storylines throughout the NHL as well. And looking ahead to Canada, Croatia on Sunday, and the IQ test. They've all been completed. The three of us we've done it. It's actually an accomplishment that we did the IQ test. The results will be revealed in the final hour. You're going to want to hear this. We have no idea how the others scored, but we're going to find out soon. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app. All right, Golf Town's Black Friday event starts this Thursday. That would be today, November 24th, in store and at golftown.com to celebrate TSN 1050's giving you a chance to win a $500 Golf Town gift card. Follow us on Instagram at TSN 1050 and at Golf Town on Instagram. And find our latest Golf Town giveaway post. Like the post. Tell us your number one golf buddy in the comments. And this year, Golf Town's Black Friday sale is bigger and better than ever. It runs this Thursday, today through Sunday. Visit golftown.com for more details and early Black Friday savings. There you go. Lots of curiosity about the scenes tomorrow, Black Friday. A lot of it's online now, but you still see the occasional video of people absolutely losing their minds.
Dude, there's a show on TV called Customer Wars. I can't believe I get sucked into it. And it's basically a Black Friday replay, like it's every day is the Black Friday fight.
Right, they're lining up the night before.
It's a brawl over a TV. It's crazy.
Yeah,
man.
It's always a TV though. They'll say, "Oh, there's a 65-inch HD TV for $99," and at Best Buy, and people will line up for 2 days for it, and they get there, and there's one, and it's sold already. They've sold it to a guy named Rick.
Yes.
So then there's a fist fight for the next batch. Like, it's an absolute gong show.
It is crazy. Like, it makes you wonder, who's operating these stores?
Oh, my God.
Like, don't you don't you concern yourselves with like the well-being of your customers and the lunacy of these people? Like,
how about get police on pay duties and pay them to stand there and there's no nonsense?
Exactly. Yeah, or go through the line. Don't open the doors and let a race happen.
No.
You know, it's not like,
as soon as
it's
you
not
let
like
the
Disney
race
World.
Happening, there's going to be hair pulling and fighting and
exactly.
Punching.
Like, you know what they do at Chick-fil-A down in the States? Is because the lines are so big, is they have people taking your order while you're in line. Like, you don't get up to the speaker. Like, yeah, you've seen it, Noodles. People just walk up to you, like, what do you want? Like, why can't you do that with people waiting out in the line? You're here first. What do you want? And we're going to go put it aside for you. You don't have to brawl with people. You're here first, so you get to go in and get it. You know, like, doesn't that seem somewhat civil and sensible as opposed to doors are open? I don't know. You know, whatever. If you want to drop
it, run amok and do anything you want. How much sense does that make for
like,
anybody?
How
involved?
Crazy is that? And how awful must it be to be working there knowing that some Karen is right around the corner waiting to come up to you? It's your fault that they didn't get the TV they wanted or, you know, like, just think about some of the attitudes.
Karen is a dangerous species, man.
It's crazy.
It's scary, different. Dangerous a Karen.
It's different.
They're everywhere, too.
All right, Bobby Mack coming up. Bob McKenzie on the Leaf win last night. The Oilers losing again last night. Ottawa losing again last night. That more coming up in the final hour. Yeah, you were up close and personal. And the IQ test, the results are in. The results are in. It's been like a 2 or 3 year buildup. We're going to find out the IQ of the three of us. We'll do that in the final hour. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 2.